Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show, where I was a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. In Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun, and God uses imperfect people all the time. And I'm just seeing these similarities in how he's using President Trump and how he's used other actual king in this country. We have a king in the form of the deep state. Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you want to say, sir, about the signal chat controversy?
You know, what a big surprise that a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. And on hoaxes, time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters, and anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter. So I'm happy to be here at the Easter Egg Roll with my dad and my kids, because, you know, this is what we're doing it for, these kids right here. This is why we're fighting the fake news media. This is why we're fighting slash and burn Democrats. This is why we're fighting hoaxsters. This group right here, full of hoaxsters that peddle anonymous sources from leakers with axes to grind. And then you put it all together as if it's some news story. And when we know it, you know exactly what it is. So I'm really proud of what we're doing for the president. Fighting hard like across the board, and I'm going to go roll some Easter eggs with my kids.
Have you spoken to the president, sir? Have you spoken to the president?
Have spoken to the president.
That's Secretary Hegseth, SecDef Hegseth, who is there. They had. It was this morning. They have the typical Easter egg hunt at the White House, and that's when they roll all the Easter eggs down the hill. You might remember that because what was it? It was a couple of weeks prior to that. You had in the Biden administration, you had what was it like that pride thing that they did, and right before the Easter egg roll, they had these the trans activists that legit went topless there in the middle of the like, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, you do the White House Easter egg roll. But that's SecDef Hegseth talking about some of the turmoil, which we're going to address. Welcome to the program. Your girl Dana Lash here with a fun scratch, I think, on her cornea. So we'll see how that works out. I know we're going to power through the radio today, one eye. So welcome. It's good to see you and well, or hear you, be on with you. We'll get things remedied here. But we've got a lot of stuff to touch on. It was kind of actually a slow and boring weekend. But then, of course, the news came this morning. Pope Francis passed away. So now I guess the conclave, that movie, is happening. It's going to be the conclave. I don't know. There's a lot of discussion, and I'm not going to get into the back and forth of it, of all of the, you know, the political nature of it and all that stuff. But there's you know, a legitimate there's a lot of debate as to how that's going to politically kind of affect the church, and what that's going to be like, because there's, I think, questions about Pope Francis and how he. You know, is accused of taking the church left-leaning. Of course, it's not just him alone. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of structure that goes into making all that happen. So we're going to talk about some of that going into it. So welcome to the program again, and we're going to get into all of that. So we've got this. We've got the Easter egg stuff, the Easter egg roll that's been happening at the White House, and you heard the Secretary of Defense just there. Bear with me. I'm still looking at some stuff. In terms of trying to see some things. I also wanted to play this. This is Audio Soundbite 2. This is Chris Van Hollen, who did admit, by the way, that his trip, the CODEL that he was on, that it was taxpayer-funded. He met with this Kilmer Garcia and called him an American, a Maryland dad, all this. I mean, it's just wild. Listen to this. He calls him, at this point, he's talking about this guy. He says he's an American in this. Audio Soundbite 2.
I think at some point the president of El Salvador realized it was looking really bad to have this person who had been absconded from America, from the streets of Maryland, in one of their prisons. I think
So he's not a Maryland dad. He's not a Maryland dad. He's literally a citizen of El Salvador, but we're not going to pay attention to any of that. We're going to keep calling him an American. So, but he went, he admitted that it was a taxpayer-funded Codell audio soundbite 4 to go and meet with this MS-13 gang member. Listen.
Who did pay for this trip?
This was an officially cleared, you know, congressional trip, cleared
on a
bipartisan
dollars.
Basis. Yes, like every other trip.
Who did?
Yes, taxpayer-funded to go and meet with this gang member. Taxpayer-funded to go and meet with this guy, MS-13 gang member, and sip margaritas. I don't know if you guys saw that, but they at one point they were there and they were sipping margaritas together. I didn't know that you could be in an El Salvador prison and drink margaritas, but you know, I guess I'm wrong. I guess you can do that if you're MS-13. I wonder if all the other prisoners were upset that he was having drinks when I don't think that they can get anything like that in jail. I don't think that they, is that a feature of jail? Do they just let that happen? You can just go and you can have, you know, sip tequila. You can go and have tequila. I'm just curious. Is that something you can do in prison? I don't know. I guess it is for him. But it's taxpayer funded, and I'm curious as to how much these Codells cost, because it's not just him. Then there's a number of other Democrats that are also going down there. Everybody has to have their, who are the other? Because there's another 4 that are going down. And they're a little bit lesser in stature.
I saw James Comer's refusal to have taxpayer dollars pay for these trips. So that was a new outrage I saw this morning.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys have already left. These lawmakers have already left. So the taxpayer dollar, I mean, you're probably looking, I would say easily, you know, half, like $50,000 to get all these guys down here, and then the security and all that. You know, it's going to be a pretty hefty price tag to get these guys down here. For all of them. And you know, they got to fly first class. They have to fly first class. You know that. That's something that they got to do. So he's confirmed that they did it. He confirmed that it was taxpayer funded to go down there. And then he was asked, you know, when he was asked about Rachel Morin. Now, Rachel Morin was one of his constituents, and her mother was the one that was there at the White House, and they were talking at the White House. During the press avail, talking at the White House. He's never tweeted about her. People were looking at his Twitter account. He's never tweeted about Rachel Morin. He's never tweeted, you know, to her mother. Apparently, he never reached out to any of them. This is audio soundbite. Which one is this? I just had it in my, this audio soundbite 5. Listen.
Neglected.
I don't
and
think
they,
that's no, not that, the question. I think it's about the mother being unable to understand why you would spend so much time and energy for this person who was not in your state or in the country legally, at which time she felt like you didn't have the same concern about her daughter and her family.
I did have concern. I have concern. My heart goes out to every Maryland family that is the victim of violence, regardless of the perpetrator. Neglect.
But what do you mean any Maryland family? Anybody? So what does this have to do with him lionizing the exact kind of gang activity that got Rachel Morin killed? It just doesn't make any sense. None of this makes sense. Audio soundbite 7. Now he's trying to gatekeep and says that he more than anybody else has been fighting. Audio soundbite 7. MSNBC. Same thing though, really. MS-13 longer. Listen.
The embassy, the Trump administration is doing nothing right now to comply with that court order. What they're doing is trying to change the subject, as if you can't comply with the Constitution and fight gang violence. I've been fighting MS-13 longer than Donald Trump probably ever uttered the words. I put together an anti-gang task force in this Washington region, Maryland, Washington, Virginia.
Yeah. So this task force, what task force did he put together? What did they actually accomplish? He put together this task force, and yet people are still getting killed. And they're still allowing them to come in. So what is that before Trump ever uttered the words? Well, I think POTUS has done more in that short time than Van Hollen has done, which is the crazy thing about it. I think POTUS has done a lot more in this time than POTUS has. So what, you know, what was his point of even going down there? Audio soundbite 8. He says this in this interview. This was the only big interview that he gave about it. This was, he said he wanted to go down to see if Garcia was alive. Listen.
I did. I had two missions. One was to ask the government of El Salvador to not be complicit in this illegal scheme with the Trump administration and to release him. I made that request to the vice president. They denied that request. My other major purpose was to just see Abrego Garcia, to see if he's alive. I did.
To see if he's alive, to see Abrego. Like, why would he not be alive? Out of curiosity. Oh, because he's, I mean, the El Salvadoran prison is, you know, pretty hardcore prison. That's for pretty hardcore people. This dude's pretty hardcore, rolling with MS-13. He wanted to see if Garcia was... He never called the Morud family. Hell, he's never called anybody in Maryland that have been subject to the sort of violence that he claims that he's protecting citizens from by inviting, you know, a deluge of illegal immigrants in. So this is one of the things we're going to... We got a lot more on this because, yeah, they sent... There are four other Democrats that are traveling down to go in... visit this Garcia guy. They're just going to take turns. You remember how they took turns with the kids in the cages, what they said was kids in cages? Remember how they took turns with that? They had AOC go down and pose on the side of the fence. They had a number of other Democrats go down. They, for like 3 weeks, they just took these extended field trips down to the border, and they all took photos. They all took photos. Like, AOC's was in a parking lot by a chain link fence. They all took photos. It was a photo op for them. It was a PR stunt for them. We're going to talk more about that here coming up. Also on deck, the White House, they're backing Hegseth. And now you have this, it seems like the Pentagon is really, you've got some entrenched people in the Pentagon who make decisions that are really pushing back against some of these reforms. We're going to talk about that coming up because that is a big thing in this. It is a big thing. You're never going to be able to work on your fighting force if you don't get the top of the pile in order, so to speak. So we're going to get all this in. We're also going to ask, why was it? And I saw this earlier today. How in the world can the Homeland Secretary, DHS, Kristi Noem, how in the world does she have a bag stolen from her at a DC restaurant over Easter? Like, she has a Secret Service detail. How did that happen? So we're going to talk about all of that and then the latest as well. We'll follow all the Pope stuff as well as we get moving. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy is a great business that is going to make sure that you are topped up with whatever it is that you need. They've saved me. They come in clutch a number of times. And they have the treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, you know, therapeutics, and the things that the government was trying to prevent you from actually accessing when the government was out there crushing alternatives. All Family Pharmacy has you covered. They also have your everyday medications, your maintenance medications that you need. Fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers. No insurance, no problem. It's simple and fast and affordable to order from All Family Pharmacy. They have straightforward pricing. Shipping is just in like 2 to 4 days, or overnight in a pinch if you need it. It's all, everything that they have is made in the USA. So you don't have to worry about outsourced stuff coming in from India or China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Need knife control in D.C. D.C. mass stabbing suspect was arrested after attacking 6 people, including innocent bystanders, at random in a substance-fueled frenzy. Try that in a concealed carry town. The D.C. police, they responded to the scene. It was 2 miles from the Capitol. It was like 3:20 p.m. yesterday after we got off air. They found him, the male suspect, on the ground suffering from stab wounds. But he had hurt a number of people. They said he was in a, quote, alternate mental state from an unknown substance. And that's how it began. Also, rising odds. I am really upset over this. And I feel betrayed. Smog. The asteroid that we thought might, you know, kind of ping the Earth is actually threatens to hit the moon instead. I mean, you know, that's going to just mess stuff up for everybody, but it's not going to be the end of humanity, sadly. I'm saying it's a huge asteroid. It's now it has a 4% chance of smashing into the moon. So there is a chance, though. They thought it's the size of it is capable of leveling a city, according to data from the James Webb Space Telescope. It has a 3.1% chance of hitting our home planet. Apparently the highest chance, more than any other asteroid that they've measured previously. And it required the Earth's planetary defense community to leap into action. Further observations quickly ruled out the asteroid called 2024 YR4, or Giant Disappointment, will strike Earth on December 22nd, 2032. Wow, we gotta wait that long. Maybe it can change its trajectory. Could we send Bruce Willis up there and have Aerosmith play and he can like jackhammer the asteroid into a new trajectory? I mean, I'm sure it's possible. I know engineering, guys, because I can eyeball a wall and hang a picture. I have a story about that. It was like perfectly in the center. I swear to you. My husband was like, that's an exception, not a rule. Stop it. Amazon has a bid to buy TikTok per New York Times. Does that mean we got to use TikTok if somebody buys it? You telling me I got to create an account on TikTok? I will annoy the hell out of everybody on purpose. I will create the most horrible content. So, yeah, they said that they put in a last minute offer to buy TikTok. We're playing wait and see if they take up the offer. Well, San Francisco's rethinking its free handouts of drugs and drug paraphernalia. Wow. I wonder why that's happening. San Francisco's now scratching their heads thinking, you know what? Maybe it wasn't a great idea to hand out free drugs and drug paraphernalia to drug addicts. Maybe it wasn't a good idea. It's like, you know, giving kids to a kid toucher. Why would you do this? I've said for years now that our media is just garbage. Legacy Press is garbage. How does the average person know if a news story, if the source is accurate or if it's biased? Ground News can be a great solution for that. Ground News can show you the stories and the sources of the day, and then they give you details about their sourcing, how reliable the reporting is, and who owns them, and keep you fully informed on any potential political or motivational leanings. So, for instance, you could use Ground News to read about the Trump administration suing the state of Maine over participation of transgender athletes in girls' sports. The Huffington Post said, quote, Trump's newest political power grab is targeting Maine. The Toronto Sun said, quote, DOJ is to sue Maine over trans women competing in female sports. So same story, but two very different headlines. Is it a power grab by the president or is it in the hands of the DOJ? You can sign up for your Ground News account today and get access to the mobile app, the website, the browser extension, and exclusive newsletter so you can stay informed on the news and the bias. Visit groundnews.com/Dana today to get 40% off the Ground News Vantage plan and get access to all of their news analysis and features. That's groundnews.com/Dana for 40% off the Ground News Vantage plan for a limited time only. groundnews.com/Dana for 40% off.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
On C-SPAN 2.
Hi. So I have a book here that I really like. And on the end, you will tell me what you learned from it. And the name is Bunny with the Big Heart. Does anybody know this book? Yeah, you do? Beautiful. So let's start. Bunny with a Big Heart. PJ Funny Bunny was a very busy bunny. He was always doing something. I'm going to the park, he shouted one morning. Then he raced out of the house, leaving the door wide open. PJ also left his dirty dishes on the table.
She's reading to the kids at the
his toys
Easter egg
all
roll
over his bed.
It's so refreshing to not have like topless trans activists on the White House lawn. Bottom of this first hour. And that is, it's interesting to me in that it seems like there's more of an acknowledgement of, like, a genuine acknowledgement of Easter, and from an administration that's not insane, I think. I mean, I have to tell you, I was kind of laughing because I was listening to this and thinking of the, you know, the White House Easter egg roll. And then I was also coupling it with this story from Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary, about how she had her bag stolen. And you know what my first thought was? Did Sam Brenton do it? Remember Sam Brenton, the luggage twink? Sam Brenton, I thought, did he do this? Is he the guy who stole her luggage, and is he going to start walking around with hair extensions and all this stuff now? I was just wondering. Oh, and then I remember that was the last administration. So, don't really have to worry about it. It's not the same. It's not the same. So welcome back to the show. All right, so a couple of things that we're watching, and again, welcome. Your girl has an issue with her eye today, so we're dealing with that while we're also covering all the news. Just for the people that are asking, we're just giving you guys a heads up. So the fallout with DOD, and I'm sure that you guys have seen these stories at this point, the fallout with DOD, the Department of Defense, and this issue with Hegseth, and now they're accusing him of what, having had another conversation or whatever in Signal and it got out. I think I'm, first and foremost, regardless of what people think of Signal, one of the things that you, and this was a New York Post piece, by the way, that had this, where it said Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth shared war plans in second Signal chat. Can I remind everybody that no matter, you know, what, separate from what your thoughts on this may be, Signal has been an approved platform for use by members of the government for some time. I, you know, admittedly, I didn't know this at the time when this story first all started breaking, but it's been, it's something that comes preloaded on, apparently, who was it that testified to this? To the CIA. They were saying, yes, the CIA loaded this onto our computers. Yes, we had this on our devices. We use Signal. It's an encrypted, it's supposed to be safe. So I don't know if the alternative is that something in, like, that the government makes is going to be somehow more secure, because I don't necessarily believe that. So I don't know but the other big question is, who's leaking it? Now, we've had a number of aides already that have been shown the door. Now, they were saying, well, there's a second group chat and there's been advice. So who are the people that are leaking it is the bigger question. And especially if it's something that has been approved. So I don't see what the scandal is, whether or not, you know, it's acting like they were somehow involved in using a platform that's somehow clandestine. I don't know. I mean, it's been approved for government devices. But again, who's been leaking this stuff? If you can't have an inner circle, you know, you're the Secretary of Defense. If you can't have in your inner circle the, you know, a trustworthy group, then we've got issues. I mean, these are, you know, the people that are heading up our warfighters. We have issues if we cannot trust the people who are working around the Secretary of Defense. Dan Caldwell was one of the guys who was escorted from the Pentagon last week because they said he was leaking from the DOD. And they've had three officials in total placed on leave in recent, just like within the past, you know, week and a half. His Deputy Chief of Staff Dan Selnick and then Colin Carroll, the Chief of Staff to his deputy, were also placed on administrative leave. And then his Chief of Staff, Joe Casper, is apparently going to go for, per Politico, to a different post within that agency. So I want to know, because they're all demanding, people like Chuck Schumer are demanding that Hegseth be fired. Can I ask the question of, or not a question, making an observation that it almost sounds like they want him to fight. They want him to fail. It's like they're trying to set him up to fail. That's what it really seems like. That, like Chuck Schumer had said, oh, Pete Hegseth put lives at risk, but Trump is too weak to fire him. He's got to be fired. He's got to go. That was Chuck Schumer. He wrote that on X just last week. They really want Hegseth to go. And I want to ask why. Why is he being set up to fail? Why is it that, you know, you have a whole group of people that are supposed to be in your inner circle, and yet you can't trust them with any information? You can't trust them with any kind of discussion. And I get, you know, with certain sensitive things, they have to, you know, they'll meet in person, or they'll, you know, if they're reviewing stuff, they'll go in the skiff. I get it. But why the leaks? Why is it that they're trying to undermine him? Because that's what this is. They're trying to undermine the Secretary of Defense. And these are people who would rather rule over ashes than to lose. That's what this is. They would rather rule over ashes than lose. And they're fine with endangering and jeopardizing the security of the nation in order to do it. That's what this is. If he had, and apparently this had to do with the because the first time you remember it was this March attack at the Houthis, and that's what, and it was only, I think it was Goldberg, that Jeffrey Goldberg over at the Atlantic that had was writing about this, and apparently he only learned about the actual, you know, I guess, strikes 2 hours before they happened. But still, I'm concerned because there doesn't seem to be a lot of cohesion in DOD. I mean, you're talking about an agency that thrives on discipline and cohesion. You know, Department of Defense, they thrive on cohesion. They thrive on being a unit. They thrive on, well, you can't have leaks. So why is it that some of these people, and some of them are newly transitioned, some of them have been there, why does it seem to run the gamut of people who are leaking on SecDef? If they are displeased with the selection for the Secretary of Defense, there are ways to deal with it beyond leaking things to the press, leaking things to a malicious press that wants to do nothing more than destabilize this administration and in turn destabilize the country. I mean, whenever I see these people leak this stuff, I kind of always, you know, I always ask the question, what's the purpose here? This isn't whistleblower stuff. This is a malicious movement designed to portray the Secretary of Defense as not having his people together, as not, they're trying to showcase that he, they're trying to project this message that he's weak and that he doesn't have the confidence of the people underneath him. That's why they're doing this. They're doing this because they are displeased with Trump's pick, and so they're going to leak to the press and think that at some point POTUS will be prevailed upon to jettison him to the sidelines. That's not going to happen, though, I don't think. That when does that ever happen? I mean, Hegseth, this is not like a situation like Matt Gaetz, okay? Matt Gaetz is a giant unforced error. This is not even remotely like that. This is a legit witch hunt. And for Schumer, Schumer's trying to, he thinks that he's playing to Trump's ego here by saying, oh, he's too weak to fire him. He's saying that because he kind of has an idea of how to get under Trump's skin by questioning his strength or his acumen, etc. But I don't think that anybody's going to respond to this. I just, you know, we got a lot of issues happening in the Middle East. We got a lot of issues with China. These are serious things. And I really wish that our government would give them the seriousness to which they're due, would treat them in a manner accordingly. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I do them every year. You want to keep going?
Do
you want to keep going and keep harassing me? You could have gone to a dozen town halls last year.
I asked if you're doing any more this year. It was one simple question.
Yeah.
Are you doing a
town hall? I've already done one. I'll do plenty more.
Are you doing any more this year? It was a simple question.
You're always invited.
Okay, sweet. Well,
and by the way, I voted for gay marriage twice.
What does that have to do
with me? So I'm just saying, it has to everything to do with you.
You think everything about me has to do with gay marriage?
I do, absolutely.
That's your first stance when you speak with me?
Absolutely. If you want to get in my face about town halls, you should have shown up to one last year.
Thing you can talk about me just saying, oh, I support gay marriage.
Yeah, because you're getting in my face about a town hall. You could have gone last year.
Would you like me? If you have any plans to have more town halls this year?
I have town halls every year. I have over a dozen every year.
Great. That was my entire question. You didn't have to go into the spiel.
You could have come to any of them last year. I had over a dozen.
I don't understand why Nancy Mace is making such a big deal of this right now. This guy's shorts are horrendous, number one. He's in like these short little booty shorts. But can I be honest? I don't know why Nancy Mace is seeking to make this like a confrontational thing. Am I missing something? I mean, if he just asks, when are you holding more town halls? Then all she has to do is say, oh, yeah, well, we're going to have another one here. Or we're going to be holding some here. That's all she has to do. So I don't understand why it's a big fight. It did. I mean, did it seem like he was being purposefully like a jerk or totally confrontational?
I don't know. In the beginning,
I don't want to defend a guy in booty shorts. So please give me a reason to not. I don't want to be on this guy's side. He's in booty shorts. Please give me a reason to not defend the booty short dude.
Look, he's clearly mentally ill approaching someone like that as though, you know, he's accusing her of never doing town halls or that, you know, the talking point out there now with Democrats going to these Republican town halls is that somehow these Republican town halls are reflective of how Republicans feel about their Republican representatives when in fact that's not the case. It's the left causing these issues. So I think she's just pointing to that.
Right. Well, I mean, still, it's just I don't know. I just feel like that there's times to blow up and there's times to not blow up. And I don't know. It just, to me, it just seems, feels like it didn't need to be all that much. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, we also don't know exactly how it started. You only get it. It only like cuts through like part way. So maybe he did something. I don't know. But I just think that if he's just asking you, hey, are you going to be doing more of this? Then that's not a big issue, right? Because, yeah, we're going to have more town halls. Yeah, we're going to have more town halls. So you can get on the bus with the other Soros-funded people and you can go to town, right? I mean, it's like, okay, that's how I would have answered it. Wouldn't have been a big deal.
So you think it was just a, hey.
I don't dislike her, but I also think that sometimes she really tries to manufacture attention. And I think that I don't just blame the lawmakers for doing this. I think that our society supports that. I think that we want people, like if people aren't gaining traction with something, they'll manufacture a victim narrative. I just don't, I don't know. I mean, there's just ways to handle. I've dealt with people publicly before, and it doesn't always have to be like a big blow up, you know. Sometimes, you know, maybe it's necessary, but I just didn't seem like this is one of the times where it was. You know, I don't know. I think she just needs to slow it down just a little bit. Remember when she wore that A shirt, like Hester and her A?
Scarlet.
Yeah, her scarlet letter, Hester with her A. I feel like she just tries to go out for the attention is like what I'm saying. I feel like she just really tries to go out for it. And I don't know. It just, We got more on the way. Lorraine noted that Van Hollen's gang task force spent over $2.5 million in just 1 year. So what did they actually accomplish? That's what she was looking at. She was like, I can't find a single thing as to what Van Hollen's gang task force did. They had like a joint gang task force back in 2004, but it ended there, she said. She said that they had congressional hearings into it in 26. It was included in the spending bill, the omnibus in 09. But then there's, you know, nobody knows. Well, I mean, they spent money to the University of Maryland. They spent money there. They sent money there. But that nobody really knows. So I'm just curious, how much taxpayer dollars are we going to have here for this Codell? Because we've got other ones going down there. It's like the hot new summer vacation. You go down and you go down to El Salvador and you go down to that prison there and you go and everybody gets a turn. You go get your picture taken with Garcia. You go and get your picture. It's a hot new summer vacation. Forget your sightseeing. Forget your jet skis. Forget any of that. No, just do it this way. We have a lot more on the way. We've got a new pope, I guess. They're going to make that determination. We're going to get into all of that. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter as well. A couple of observances on that issue, too, on the issue of Easter. But we're going to get into all of that. And then we have Stephen Yates later on in the program because, you know, obviously we keep a very close eye on everything that happens with the biggest geopolitical foe of the United States. We're going to talk to him about the latest with China. They sent back a new Boeing jet. China did. We're going to talk about some of this stuff. We're going to get into all of it. And of course, second and third hour on the way. We got Florida Man coming up too. Stick with us. More in store. Homeowners, when was the last time you checked on your home title? That's the legal proof that you own your house. You know this. The problem is that in today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing your home titles and your equity is actually the target. Criminals forge your signature on one document. Then they use a fake notary stamp. They pay a small little fee with your county and boom, your home title has been transferred out of your name. And then, oh, it doesn't end. Then they take out loans or even sell your property. And you're not going to know it happened at all until you get a collection or foreclosure notice. Use promo code Dana at HomeTitleLock.com to make sure that your title is still in your name and protect yourself. You'll also get a free title history report plus a free 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. So that's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud should happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HomeTitleLock.com now. Use promo code Dana.
Swore to the American public he was going to deport illegal criminals and especially those who have been involved in violent gangs like MS-13 that have terrorized American communities. And so to the Democrat Party, who thinks that they are going to bring this foreign terrorist back to the United States of America to live a peaceful and happy life, that is never going to happen. Not only is this an MS-13 gang member, but he is also an illegal alien who broke our nation's laws to come here. And not only is it a slap in the face to the American citizens whose lives who have been put in danger or in many cases lost at the hands of these illegal alien criminal gang members, but it's also a slap in the face to the millions of legal immigrants who came to our country the right way, waited their turn, and paid their dues. We have a legal immigration system for a reason. The president is going to continue to uphold that.
Well, and good for him. He needs to. And it's about time that we've had people in the administration do what they needed to do as it pertains to illegal immigration and to uphold the law, to actually uphold the law. So I don't know why we're still defending this case, by the way, of the, this Garcia, this guy who's an El Salvadoran national who was never here legally. I mean, I don't know how many times we can talk about this. I'm sure that you guys hopefully didn't run into any of this stuff on Easter. Hopefully nobody talked about it on Easter. Goodness. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of this second hour. And the issue of immigration and this back and forth, I want to reiterate again, because I feel like this gets lost in all of this. The issue with him and the deportation. I was listening to, who was it? Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana earlier, who remarked how the administration, he said in his view, the administration messed up because they let this guy go too early, or they deported him too early. I don't think the administration messed up, though. I mean, how is it that it's bad if you deport someone earlier than what was scheduled, and then when you, and then they enter the country illegally? I mean, if you're going to go by the book as it pertains to law and order, then you have to go by the full book, not just that which, you know, it works to your advantage. Not just, you can't ignore the fact the guy came in illegally. And because he came in illegally, and because he had his due process, and he had numerous court appearances, and he was before numerous immigration judges, we read one of the bond documents out aloud to you when we were on air last week. And this guy is, I mean, he immediately, he was reoffending. He comes into the country illegally, and he immediately starts reoffending. And that's one of the reasons why he was ended up getting the attention of these people in the first place, getting the attention of law enforcement in the first place, because he was, he had numerous, what, traffic incidents, and then he wasn't showing up for court, his court dates there. And he entered illegally, again, so he was deported legally, although it was out of schedule. Can you have, like, an illegal deportation? Illegal deportation? I don't think you can. Especially if someone's here illegally. I just am trying to wrap my mind around the thought process of the left on this. I mean, if it's bad that he's deported because you think that somehow you're violating his rights, okay, he's an illegal immigrant, he's not here legally, there's it, the one doesn't follow the other. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Why is he entitled to the due process of American citizens when he's not an
American
citizen?
Well, and he got it. He got it with the numerous court appearances. And then they kept telling him, you're a danger. In fact, one of the judges even wrote that, like, you're a danger to the public. So we can't guarantee, we can't make any guarantees to the public as of such. You know, we're not going to, you know, we can't allow you to stay in this country. And he got the deferment from the Biden administration. But I want to point out again, too, that was only a temporary thing. It was never an issue of, he's not going to ever, he's going to stay in the country legally, or we're going to give him legal status. It was never an issue of that. It was always an issue of at what point is he going to be deported? And so the stupidity of the left on this, the fact that they've tripled and quadrupled down on it is truly stunning to me. It's really stunning that they keep hammering this. I don't know. I wanted to talk real quick about this issue with let me pull this up, because this was this is one of these stories that I saw running around, flitting around the internet. The issue of Kristi Noem and her bag being stolen. Can someone tell me how in the world a DHS secretary with Secret Service protection can have her bag stolen? I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, a mean person. I want to know how that happens. She had a purse with $3,000 in cash. She also apparently had her passport and I think some blank checks, her driver's license, her passport, her DHS bag, medicine checks, her apartment keys, makeup, according to the New York Post, which confirmed the contents of the bag. There was a guy in a surgical mask who stole her bag before he left the restaurant. And I'm just curious how that happened, because she has Secret Service protection. So how do you steal somebody's bag if they have Secret Service detail? Also, can I just say, how do you get your bag stolen? I've always got an eye on stuff. I always either wear stuff or I just never leave anything. But I really want to know, with the Secret Service protection, how that happened. Is this another question for Secret Service? I'm just curious. The New York Post reached out to them for comment and they haven't heard anything yet. I don't like that someone could get that close. I mean, I've got my issues with how she does some of her stuff. I mean, she can do her glamour shots and her, as we talked about weeks ago, her, you know, extensions and all. As long as you're deporting people, I'm fine. But how was somebody able to get that close? That's my question. Is this something that we need to be concerned about? Apparently, the Secret Service did review security footage, and that's how they saw that guy on camera do that, you know, go and sneak in, get right next to her and take her stuff. But how was that able to happen? Because Secret Service, if you're ever around any of these, you know, if you're ever around any of these, you know, people that are in these high appointed positions, anybody, particularly in the president's cabinet, one of the things that you know immediately is that there's always a bubble around them. There's a security bubble that's enforced around them. It's not like you can just like go up to their table. It's not like you can do any of that stuff. So I've got questions. I've got a lot of questions about this. I don't even know how this. I don't know how that happens. And I get concerned because, hi, what did we deal with last year at this time, Kane? Well, not this time, but what did we deal with last year?
Last year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody tried to kill POTUS.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of questions about Secret Service. Yes. So that's why I have a lot of questions about this.
Good question.
I'm just a little nervous. I get a little antsy. So I just would really rather, I would like for some answers from Secret Service to how something like this could happen. You know, I, for sure. A couple of other things to discuss. On Thursday, which we had it was the horrible shooting that took place at FSU. And as per usual, you know, you immediately had, FSU is a gun-free zone, if people are unfamiliar. FSU is a gun-free zone. I had a friend who had a family member who was there, and my friend, their nephew, who is, you know, a practiced shooter. I think he said he did it competitively for a while. He's not able to have a firearm on campus. Now, you know, keep in mind, he could have very well easily defended himself, defended others, but he was not allowed to, you're not allowed to have a firearm on campus. And my friend was livid that his nephew was on campus and not able to defend themselves when this happened. Now, as more started to come out about this individual who carried out this shooting, I mean, I always get, I don't like to say these people's names. I don't like to do anything like that because there definitely is a copycat syndrome. We've already talked about this before. I don't know if he was anti-Trump or not. I think he just didn't like protests, because they immediately, one of the things that the left tried to do is figure out, well, what are his politics, so we can assign that to whatever side and use it as a cudgel. And this, you know, you had these five wounded, I think two fatalities that happened. And Lorraine has a write-up about this over at Substack. She did a really good job covering this. It was a 20-year-old student and the son of a member of the sheriff's office, the Leon County Sheriff's Office. He was a participant in the Sheriff's Youth Advisory Council. He had some firearms training as well. It doesn't seem that he shot at police, but he was not following, apparently, the verbal commands. And they took him into custody and apparently to the hospital. The classes were all canceled for the remainder of the week, but two fatalities and five wounded. Now, the people who were, the fatalities were not students. I think they may have been faculty. But the left was seizing on this quote from a college paper wherein they said, oh, he just doesn't like the anti-Trump protest. And the left tried to make it out to be like he's a pro-Trump. I think he just didn't like all the protests because I think he just thought they were disruptive. I don't care. Why are we sitting here instead of asking how was this individual, what was his motivation and how was this individual able to do what he did? Why are we not asking those questions? Why are we trying to figure out, oh my gosh, how can we use this against the rioter? I mean, with the left, I'm used to it because most of these mass killers are people on the left. But with this, I mean, he had a firearm, he had a handgun. That's, I mean, already, if he's 20 years old with a handgun, running around without a handgun. That's already, he's already a prohibited possessor by way of his age. And then by having it at FSU campus, well, then there's another violation. So there's immediately two charges right there. They might be able to say criminal trespass if they had the appropriate signage. I mean, it all depends. There's several things that go into this. But of course, the left doesn't want to know anything about it. They immediately just want to say that this had to do with, oh, it's because of the proliferation of firearms. How about bad parenting? Can we talk about that for a moment? Like, how are you a 20-year-old student? You're running around. How did you get a hold of a handgun? How did you get a hold of any of this? As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PR-57, chambered in 5.7, a really great game-changing gun from Kel-Tec. This thing is amazing. MSRP only $399, so you can afford to get it, and it's one that you absolutely should have. The other really cool thing with this is that it's 40%. Well, it's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7 that's on the market. It has a unique top loading design, so that it replaces the traditional magazine with a stripper clip. So you get a slimmer carry profile, and you have a 20+1 capacity. This super innovative rotary barrel makes it really light as well. I mean, you got 20+1 capacity. You know, it's thinner, it's lighter. It's a 5.7 I could actually reasonably conceal carry. My other 5.7 I cannot. And it's all designed in Florida. George Kellgren, the folks at Kel-Tec, they're just geniuses. This is a great gun. It's the first of its kind. Kel-Tec PR-57 Rotary Barrel Pistol. Visit KeltecWeapons.com to learn more. Innovation Performance, Kel-Tec, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so we have... I can't believe this is a headline, but it is. It sounds like a punk band name. A flaming romantical accessory sparked a blaze, damaging three Staten Island homes, and a neighbor was busted for it, accordingly. I don't even know. I don't even want to know how something like this happens. I mean, I understand if you leave like a curling iron on, you know, then you can have an issue. But this had to do with three Staten Island homes, and they were damaged. An elderly woman told authorities that the blaze started when the guy tried to burn romantical accessories in, I don't know how to put it, in his backyard.
You can say sex toys. Why can't you say sex toys?
Oh my gosh, because we've got some pure people out, like Juan out there. And, you know, we got to protect them at all costs.
Blaming Juan.
They said that the guy, his name was Harry Torres, he said that he was in his backyard of his house and he lit two of them on fire. And then it just kind of got out of hand and went from there. He said... authorities initially called it suspicious. It spread to two neighboring buildings that were extensively damaged, and they so it was a three alarm fire. They said it necessitated being called a three alarm fire. I can't even believe this is a thing. I don't know. Let's see. Apparently, how somebody smells may dictate whether or not you're going to be friends. That I guess that makes sense. They said that smells do matter, especially when you're forming, you know, bonds or relationships with people. I guess that, you know, I guess that makes sense. Like if somebody's smelly, or if they smell like patchouli or Tom's of Maine, I'm typically probably not. I mean, that's, you know, no offense, but just probably not going to happen. We're not going to be friends. Apparently, your midlife eating habits obviously can help you live longer and healthier. Duh, I can't believe this is a headline. You didn't need to do a study about this. A plant-rich diet with some fish and dairy might make the biggest difference, they say. But I thought dairy was bad. Is it good now? I thought it was bad, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. Louisiana, Virginia, Missouri have reported their first measles cases of 2025. Oh, great. So we're all going to freak out over measles. NASCAR fans got their first look at an electric car out on the track in new footage. I'm still not going to be into it. Don't you think that EVs need their own like thing? It's like trans cars. I don't know. It's the NASCAR EV prototype. It turned heads during an exhibition in Chicago and Miami. Fans got to see it on the track as part of a commercial. So they were shooting a commercial with it. So they got to see it in action. Coming up, we've got the latest. We've got some culture as well. The Home Alone 2 director, he wants Trump's cameo removed and real ID. Stick with us. And I'm going to tell you, I always tell people to carry. I will always carry. I will always encourage people to carry. I get that some people want to diversify their weapons array. I understand that. Especially like what we were just talking about, gun-free zones. I have friends who were, all I can say is that they work in the media, New York, Washington, D.C., they are out at night because, as you know, apparently our government now with this administration never sleeps. And even though they went through all the hoops and jumped through all of that stuff and got their license to carry, they're barred from carrying it a number of places. So they went out and they got what's called the Byrna SD. That's the most popular model. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And it is a way for you to still have some means of protection when you are barred from carry. I mean, think about it. You carry knives. You know, you'll carry blades. You have different calibers. You know, I think the saying is what? I use my pistol to get to my rifle. So you have all different kinds of stuff. It's always good to anticipate varied situations and plan accordingly. And this is the niche that I feel that Byrna fits. And you can look and go to their website and see everything that they have to offer. Like I said, the Byrna SD is the most popular model. And when you go, when you go and you can look at the different projectiles, that's what I'm thinking of. The different projectiles, the different accessories, all this kind of stuff. They have different things up there. And this has five rounds compared to regular stun guns, which only have one or two. So you have multiple chances. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA.com/Dana, and get 10% off your purchase.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
I think he's exactly where he should be.
But you said that the El Salvador would have to cooperate. You have no doubt that if President Trump wanted him returned, that he could ask President Bukele to return him, right? I mean,
I can't comment on something I don't know.
What do you think? I mean, you know President Trump. You've talked about how, you know, he can get things done. I mean, if he wanted the guy returned, he could get him returned, right?
I do. I'm not going to comment on conversations I'm not a part of. I don't know what conversations they're having, what conversation, who's having what conversation, what officials. I'm not in the loop on that.
So that's Tom Homan, who is obviously, you know, working in immigration. He's addressing all of this. First off, welcome back. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. You'll have to forgive me. The simulcast is interrupted today because your girl's operating one eyed. I was going to give myself a nickname, but I don't have one. So basically, I have something massively scratching up the inside of my eye. So we're powering through it. So it's impossible to be on camera today. And it's a great start, by the way, to our amazing affiliate out in Seattle, KTTH. We're very excited to be on Seattle. Jason Rance is a dear friend, and they do such a great job. It's a great station. We're happy to be on. So tomorrow, we hope to have all that restored, and I hope to have both eyes functioning. Makes it very difficult when you're trying to see your prep and everything in front of you. So don't work in broadcasting if you have eye issues. It can be a bad deal. So the Tom Homan. And that, remind me, that was audio soundbite that we had just played.
11.
That was 11. So he's addressing the conversations between, saying how he's not going to address the conversations that the president is having with the president of El Salvador. Now, I'll say this too. And Jonathan Turley remarked on this Supreme Court order that has to do with this Abrego Garcia, because I quite didn't understand what the Supreme Court was talking about with this decision when they basically made it to where the government has to be the facilitator of getting this guy, you know, back to the country to which he illegally entered. Audio somebody 12. I'm not the only one. This is Jonathan Turley expanding on that.
Right. The Trump administration is adopting a pretty artificially narrow interpretation. They're saying that if they bring him to our doorstep, we have to open the door. The district court clearly disagrees and basically said, I feel unfacilitated. Well, this is the problem with what the Supreme Court did. You can get a unanimous decision if no one can agree what you said. Mm-hmm. And they said you have to facilitate, but they didn't define what that means.
So what is facilitate mean in that regard? Like what is the United States? What do we have to do in order to fulfill the facilitation? And they didn't, as he said, it wasn't defined as to what that meant. And that was a question that I had when that order came out. And that's what the left keeps coming back to. So audio summit 14, Senator John Kennedy, he responded this way. Listen.
Well, Chris is my friend, and I respect him.
and he's certainly entitled to his opinion, but in my judgment, he is utterly and gloriously wrong. I mean, most of this Ghazi rhetoric is just rage bait. Unless you're next level obtuse, you know that Mr. Garcia is never coming back to the United States, ever. And that's not because of President Trump. That's because of Mr. President Bukele.
Yeah. Well, and the president of El Salvador said, I'm not releasing him from prison. He's a known gang member. And it just seems disrespectful for Democrats to try to argue this, by the way, and to think that they're just going to travel to El Salvador and have this conversation with him and to make demands. I mean, we have a number of other lawmakers going there to sit down and sip margaritas and all on the taxpayer expense. I mean, you know, we're not taxed enough already. And after the discoveries of the wasteful spending from USAID and elsewhere, yeah, I don't think that taxpayers are really in the mood for spending money on this type of stuff. But yeah, that's what it is. That's what they're doing. And it's incredibly unfortunate to see these people do more for those who broke the law and entered illegally than not. I wanted to switch gears here and also bring up this story. This is more of a culture story. New York Post had this story. I saw it on Friday when we were out. Home Alone 2 director wants Trump cut from the cameo. From his cameo piece cut from the Home Alone 2. And you remember Home Alone 2? There was the where Macaulay Culkin was in the hotel. I never watched Home Alone 2. Did you ever see it, Kane? I never watched it. I couldn't tell you what it was about.
I know I've seen it. It's been so long, though. It's been a long time.
Home Alone came out when I was a kid. Home Alone 2, I never saw it. I just didn't see it. But Trump was in it. He has a cameo in it. And how petty do you have to be to start talking about taking this cameo out? So he said the director, Chris Columbus, he wants it removed. But he says, well, he goes, if I cut it, I could get deported. That's what he said. If he cut it, he's worried that Trump would deport him if he cut his cameo. How petty is this? This guy's 66 years old. He did an interview with the San Francisco Chronicle, and he said that Trump's cameo has become a curse because he would love to cut it out. But he goes, it's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. He says, I can't cut it. If I cut it, I'd probably be sent out of the country. And he said, I'll be considered sort of not fit to live in the United States. So I'll have to go back or something. He said he's from Italy. He'll have to go back to Italy. Although he has Italian heritage. He was born in Pennsylvania. So he's pulling a Hillary Baldwin with us. And it was the Plaza Hotel, which Trump owned at the time. Columbus said that Trump bullied his way into the movie, which I don't believe. He said that they spoke with him about filming in the Plaza and they paid the fee, which you'd have to do with everybody. So when people scout for locations, if they choose a private property, they pay it's almost like they pay an ungodly amount of money. You can make a lot of money by having a property that's used for filming. But what Chris Columbus said was that, oh, well, you can use the Plaza if I'm in the movie, is what Trump told him. So he said, however it happened, they agreed to put him in the movie. And then when they screened it, people liked it when they showed up. So he told the editor, leave him in the movie. It's a moment for the audience, is what he said. And he made that decision then. And so he says it's an albatross and he hates the fact that he's in it. And then he's also said, oh, well, he bullied his way into it. Trump says that Columbus begged him to appear in Home Alone 2. That the film's director and others were begging him to be in it. And how in the world, like if you're Chris Columbus, why do you think that this is a smart move to just start trying to pick this fight now? I guess this is like the only leverage that he thinks that he has. Why does he think this is the time to do it? It's just these people being so petty and so obsessive and so insufferable. It's truly remarkable. I think it looks petty if he removes him. because it's become like, you know, this like cultural iconic scene. I think he looks petty by removing him and thinking that, you know, because then it looks bad. And then the director has projected his garbage onto, I mean, he's tainted the movie then if you do something like that. That's so lame. I don't think that anybody was complaining about it either. I never heard anybody complain about Trump being in this movie or having a cameo in it. Nobody complained about it. Nobody said anything about it. So why now is he wants to, yeah, it's an albatross around his neck, Kane. Steve says that Home Alone 2 is his all-time favorite Christmas movie. You've got to be kidding me.
I mean, it's up there. It's the first Christmas movie as a kid I remember seeing, so I guess it just stuck with me longer. I don't know.
Mine's Die Hard. But think about this. All he's doing is really making, so the movies that are out there on VHS and all that have Trump in it, he's literally going to make Trump more valuable because those movies that were originally with Trump in them are going to be more valuable to people, because if he's going to remove it from the movie, that's going to be something people will collect and keep, which will then, of course, gain value. So if he's wanting to give Trump more value, I guess this is the move.
Yeah, that's the way to do it for sure. That's the way to make it exactly like you said, way more valuable. That's how you do it. It's just so lame to take this out. But this is like Mao. That's like cultural. That's like the cultural revolution. That's very Mao-esque. Oh, we got to take all these references out. We have to go back and whitewash all of our stuff because politics. Because people have grown so simple and weak. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Pastor Alan Jackson encourages Christians to get tough and fight.
The military had been turned into a social experiment. Apparently, they've been looting the coffers in Washington for a long time of hundreds of billions of dollars, terminating the lives of our children. I mean, we all know the litany of things that are happening. It feels like it's going to take a determination from the people of faith if we're going to see this walked back to the place it needs to be for the sake of our children.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I've heard of some people being desperate to get attention, especially from the ladies. This Florida man is no different. A Florida man shot himself and then lied about having cancer so he could get sympathy from the woman that he is accused of stalking. This guy, this 30-year-old, he staged a shooting and a claim about having cancer so that he could gain sympathy from a female coworker who accused him of stalking her. This like went for a year. It began back in March of last year, and Cocoa Police, they responded to shots fired at a FedEx. This guy he staged all of this, and then afterwards he pretended to have cancer. So he could, all because he wanted to get sympathy from this woman. He was released on $4,000 bond. I feel like that's a little low. It feels like that's a little bit low. I want to do this one, the outdoor. A man faces harsh consequences after he provoked an iguana for viral content. Yeah, I think that you should. These people that do these videos, this was his video was supposed to be like, this is what living in Florida is like. And he grabbed this iguana that was standing kind of sitting next to his arm. And the animal, I mean, the iguana immediately bit him. And he had a lot of damage. He's like, yeah, I'm going to need stitches. You know that they actually have they're covered with salmonella, not all of them, but you can get salmonella from, you're always supposed to wash your hands after handling iguanas. I had a friend in college that had two of like the biggest iguanas or something like that in the state, and kept them in this like huge, they converted a room in their basement to housing these iguanas. But you always are supposed to wash your hands if you're handling them, etc. And this guy gets bitten by him because he thinks he's going to do it for viral content. Not everything has to be viral content, you know. Not everything has to. I don't know why people are so obsessed with, it's the click culture. Let's see, this was a local 10. An Audi driver going 155 miles per hour said, I know what I'm doing before he had a deadly crash on State Road 84. That doesn't sound good. This individual, he was told by the passenger to slow down as he drove 155 miles per hour. And then not just what, minutes later, he crashed into another vehicle and it ejected one of his passengers and killed them. That's horrible. So he was arrested on 6 felony charges, including 1 count of vehicular homicide. And they said that he rear-ended a Honda Accord as he switched lanes, which caused his Audi to spin out, hit a curb, roll over, and then sadly eject a passenger who did not have his seatbelt on. The people in the Honda were taken to the hospital. That's just 155 miles per hour. That's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Good heavens. Machete news. Today in machete news, an ashtray, this is a headline, an ashtray theft led to a machete fight in Cooper City. A dispute over an ashtray turned violent. I didn't even know ashtrays still existed. I think I'm more amazed at that than I am about the machete fight. A 42-year-old man broke into a townhome courtyard, fought the new homeowner who was armed with a machete, authorities confirmed. Broward Sheriff's Sheriff's Office deputy said the confrontation happened Tuesday of last week. One of the men, identified as David Guevara, was standing in an enclosed patio of his townhome holding his ashtray. The victim opened the door, demanded the ashtray, told Guevara to leave, and then the victim walked back inside, sensed that Guevara was following him. So then the homeowner had time to arm himself with a machete. Then he went back and confronted Guevara. And then Guevara rushed the victim. They tried to wrestle the machete away. They fell to the ground. They fought. Somebody did get cut in the face. I mean, it was just crazy. Guevara told the deputies that he took the ashtray because it looked nice. Was he going to steal it? Like, what in the world? Over an ashtray. And also, everybody has machetes. Literally, everybody has a machete in Florida. One thing that that's not a joke. I think they give you one if you move there. I don't know.
It's required.
A Florida man stabbed a woman after she criticized his uncontrolled kids while in line at the supermarket butcher counter. Oh my gosh, this Florida man is going to spend a decade behind bars. A woman criticized his kids at the supermarket, so he brutally stabbed her. Jamakar Gale, literally as it sounds, was convicted by a jury of his peers. He had a 3-day trial, so he got sentenced to 12 years in prison, 1 count of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. The knife attack occurred at the butcher's counter in the Milan supermarket in Port Charlotte, and apparently he was there with his kids, and I guess I don't know if they were loud or whatever, but this woman criticized them for their behavior, and they ended up arguing. And then afterwards, people were pushing one another. And then, the next thing you know, somebody even grabbed a cast iron pan from a shelf in the store and like went back to the butcher counter because they thought they were going to swing it around and slap people with it. But then that's when the defendant, upon seeing the cast iron pan, grabbed an 8-inch chef's knife from the shelf. And then they didn't pay for it first. They were stabbing without paying. They didn't pay for it. After he stabbed the woman, the man fled to the parking lot. And the victim was severely wounded, followed him, though, in an attempt to photograph the license plate on the vehicle. And so that's how, when first responders arrived, the victim was in pretty dire straits, bleeding profusely from her abdomen and head, they noted. So they absolutely did find the people who did it, took him into custody, and that's the conclusion of the trial. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house, Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. And it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or visit relieffactor.com.
Democratic solidarity with the Democratic governments and the Democratic movements and peoples and parties of the world to try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us. But implicit in it should be the idea that if and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated, to use a word of the day, who facilitated authoritarianism in our country. Because that's an assault on our Constitution and on our people.
Mm. So, Jamie Raskin, well, you found that interesting, Kane, did you?
Yeah. I mean, when we come back in power, you know, this whole time they've been whining that Trump would be some, you know, vengeful type president. So far, he's followed the law to a T. Yeah. But they have no problems going out there and future threatening other countries.
Yeah, none at all whatsoever. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this third hour. Apologies for the interruption in the simulcast today. Your girl has sloth eye. I don't know how to put it. I feel like from the Goonies. Major, like, I have a scratch on my eye and it's super red and super swollen, and it's not even the same size as my other one, and I'm having difficulty even seeing. So we're like, maybe we don't do the simulcast today, even though I'm having a great hair day. It's like a baller hair day. But maybe we don't do that today. So apologies for that. But it's not, I mean, I can't even see the camera anyway. So it's not, we're in that bad of a shape. It's like your nightmare scenario. You're getting ready to go on national television and you have a huge red eye and a scratch on it. And you got to go to the optometrist after, or the ophthalmologist after you finish your broadcast. So yeah, it's a, so I appreciate your patience. That's so for those asking, that's the explanation on that. There's no conspiracy, you know, it's not, you know, no conspiracy at all whatsoever. All right. So, because there are going to be those, some people are going to be like, she had plastic surgery. I've never had that, but still no. Kane can attest. I have sloth eye. He can attest. So, okay. The situation. So we got the Pope who passed away, this morning, and everyone's saying right after J.D. Vance visited him, and I feel like the left is, am I crazy in that the left is trying to make this a thing?
What, that he visited the
Pope,
and now the Pope's dead?
Because I keep seeing it all over X, which I'm trying not to look at because it's just trash. It's everywhere. I've seen it, like, is that a thing that we actually, is that we're entertaining as serious?
Are any of them suggesting anything specific that he could have done?
Oh, like, he met the Pope, and now, look, the Pope is passed. I mean, that's kind of a new low for the left, I think.
Is it? Because I've seen worse.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I have seen worse, but I don't know. Like, I've got a lot of questions about this. Why is that a thing? So the Pope's passed away. Now they're going to have the conclave. It's going to come to life. And sidebar, I think it's fascinating that they work in the Sistine Chapel for this. So when they're selecting the new Pope, they meet, they have their proceedings in the Sistine Chapel. Isn't that interesting? I mean, how could you, I would have difficulty working and concentrating sitting in the Sistine Chapel. I got to be honest. It's the Sistine Chapel. I mean, it's, you know, the Michelangelo's amazing masterpiece is on the ceiling, and it's, I've been there. It's an amazing, beautiful room, and, you know, the artwork is, I mean, it's Michelangelo. I mean, what else is there to say about it? But they gather there, and then they showed us where they put the, I guess after they have their votes, they put them in this little furnace, and then they light it, and then they color the smoke depending on whether or not they have elected a new pope or whether there is a new pope that remains to be elected. It's all very fascinating, the process. But how could you sit in the Sistine Chapel and work and listen to old dudes speak? You're in the Sistine Chapel. I mean, are you there just so often that it's just commonplace, which I can't imagine either, that you just don't, it doesn't even register anymore? I don't know. I that's kind of interesting to me. But I do think that the conspiracy theories that the left is pushing, aren't the right the conspiracy theorists? How dare you? That's our job. We're supposed to be the conspiracy theorists, according to the left. And now the left wants to be the conspiracy theorist. I don't know. But it's going to be there's a lot of debate amongst all of my Catholic friends as to who's going to be the next pope. And there's apparently a cardinal from Africa who they say is like a great candidate and would remove woke, but it's not going to happen. He's not going to get the votes. I don't know. I don't think I would want to run. I wouldn't want that job. Because you have to deal with all the other cardinals, and it just seems like it gets catty. You know, it gets catty. But I've noticed they've got a short list of some. But all my Catholic friends are debating the Pope issue and who is it going to be and who's going to get the votes and who isn't going to get the votes. And it's very interesting. But I would not be able to work sitting in the Sistine Chapel because it's so beautiful. The other thing that we're also following is this Pentagon fight. A former top Pentagon spokesperson told Politico that it's been a month of hell inside the agency. And apparently there's another, I mean, the exclusive coming out of NPR. Now, it's NPR, so take it for what it is. They're saying that the White House is looking to replace Hegseth as SecDef. Now, I do know that there was another choice. That is true. I do know that there was another choice if it wasn't going to be Hegseth. There was another choice that POTUS had met with, played golf with, in Florida. That's all I can tell you that for certain. Now, Trump was looking at DeSantis. Now, I like Hegseth. I mean, I think it's a different type of leadership, because I think that you can have more administrative, and then you can have more warrior class. I mean, it just all depends on what you think the need is, or how it needs to be run. But I don't dislike Hegseth. I do know. I mean, one of the things that I very well place sources, you know, DeSantis and Trump actually do get along, even if some of Trump's people hate DeSantis. I don't think that Trump listens to his people 24/7. I know his chief of staff hates DeSantis, but I think Trump and DeSantis get along. And I think all of the primary stuff that they've had has been, you know, put to bed. But I do know that he was being considered for SecDef. But I think that DeSantis, from what I understand, wanted to stay on as Florida governor because there's so much that needs to be done still. And have you seen the state of things? We're resuming red state rhino hunting tomorrow. If you've seen the state of things, and we've covered this before, the issue of really weak Republicans trying to undo a lot of these initiatives that the DeSantis admin had implemented. That's incredibly concerning. I mean, they were vetoing cuts and they were trying to override the veto of basically getting more money from the taxpayers to pay for these special interest, their special interest pursuits. So they've been fighting with the administration, the DeSantis administration, because you have a handful of these rhinos that are trying to drag the state back to being more purple, because then they could actually run as Democrats. You can't run as a Democrat in Florida. You got to run as a Republican. But they could actually run as Democrats, technically. So I think that that's kind of, you know, part of their push. So I think he really wanted to stay and remain as governor of Florida. But I like Hegseth as SecDef. A lot of people have got it out for him. And I think that's going to be true almost of anybody in that position, because there's a lot of money tied up in War Inc. Think about some of these legacy contracts. There was a time I was at a dinner in Austin, Texas, meeting with a couple of generals and Futures Command and all of that down there. And one of the things that they were talking about was recruitment. And you know, I brought up respectfully that the recruitment comes by the comes from the way that the military is being operated and administered. And that, you know, Abbeygate definitely wasn't a great recruiting message after we saw that from the Biden administration. A lot of the leaks and the catfighting that just doesn't, you know, doesn't really look so great. And so I think the more entrenched, I don't want to say bureaucrats, but for the lack of a better way to put it, the more entrenched bureaucrats that are there at DOD, I think they're going to give anybody a hard time, because anybody that's appointed to that spot is going to technically be an outsider. They're not going to have been there within the Department of Defense, within the Pentagon for all of these years, the way a lot of these individuals that really carry the weight of the influence have and are. And really, ultimately, anybody that's appointed is going to have a hard time. I especially think it's doubly hard if it's a Republican appointee. For some reason, we have a whole ghost class within the system that is just stringently against any type of Republican, and I feel like that's also going to be an issue. So I don't the idea that they're looking to replace him. The fact that NPR wrote this, NPR doesn't really get the best scoops. I got to be honest, they don't. They don't really get great scoops. I don't really put a lot of stock in this one. And even if anybody's going to have a tough time in that position. There's not going to be anybody that finds an easy time of it, because you're going up against this entrenched class. It's just the way that it is. So I'm not quite sure. I wanted to bring this one up too. This is a culture story. This G.I. Jane they called her a wannabe G.I. Jane, is suing the Navy because her dream of becoming the first female SEAL has come crashing to an end. The woman is 42 years old. Oh, well, she'd be over the age limit of 42. So they said she will no longer qualify for Naval Officer Training Command in Newport, Rhode Island, because she would be over the age limit of 42 by the time she graduated. She's 41 now. She said, she told the New York Post that the opportunity was taken away from her and she would like to be reinstated. And she said that, I want to be determined by merits instead of a technicality. So she wants a special exception for her. She said she was working in litigation for 12 years and she got burnt out working for 24/7. And she thought the SEALs were a noble cause. And she says she's scuba certified and she's an avid long distance runner. And she said the special forces just, quote, kind of jibed with my physical pursuits. Yes, because, you know, special forces, all it is just some running and swimming. That's all it is, you know. She wrote of her, quote, Viking-like pursuit to be a SEAL. And she said that her grandfather served in Norwegian ski patrol and that her uncle was in World War II. And her brother works in the FBI. She said she wants to be the first female Navy SEAL officer. And from immediately, she was having problems with it. She's suing them for age discrimination against the USA Navy. This broad is suing for age discrimination because the Navy has age restrictions for all men and women. And she thinks that she thinks that age waivers are obtainable and that she should get special. She doesn't want equality. She wants to be kid gloved. She wants special treatment. She wants a special exemption. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think that she's not going to last in the SEALs. No. Are you kidding me? A 41-year-old woman who thinks that she's going to just make it through buds. Are you kidding me? Let's be serious, people. It's not a social experiment. It's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy is a great business that is going to make sure that you are topped up with whatever it is that you need. They've saved me. They come in clutch a number of times. And they have the treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, you know, therapeutics and the things that the government was trying to prevent you from actually accessing. when the government was out there crushing alternatives. All Family Pharmacy has you covered. They also have your everyday medications, your maintenance medications that you need. Fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers. No insurance, no problem. It's simple and fast and affordable to order from All Family Pharmacy. They have straightforward pricing. Shipping is just in like 2 to 4 days, or overnight in a pinch if you need it. It's all, everything that they have is made in the USA. So you don't have to worry about outsourced stuff coming in from India or China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Associated Press says that the cause of Pope Francis's death was a cerebral stroke that led to a coma and irreversible heart failure, per the Vatican. He apparently also had it decreed in his will that he be buried in the St. Mary Major Basilica in a simple underground tomb. So he was like having a lot of issues. He was like super sick when he met with the VP. I saw that at one point he was in a wheelchair being wheeled around. So he's been struggling with it for quite some time. Also, moving on down the rest of these headlines here. What is hatfish? I've heard of catfishing.
Oh, hatfish is when bald guys go on dating apps and they wear hats in their pictures. And then when you go to the date and they're not wearing a hat and they're bald, and these women feel like they were hatfished.
That's hysterical. So this is like apparently big enough of an issue that Huffington Post has written about it. Well, ladies, it'd be like if you don't wear makeup or have extensions. Like, no, I mean, that's not your natural hair and that's not your natural face. So I don't know. Somebody's but like, then you go on a date and you find out that they're bald. Okay, then don't go on another date with them if that's not your jam, right? I mean, just saying. I don't know why that like has to be like this big long. I don't know why it has to be this big ordeal. China sent back a new Boeing jet made more expensive by tariffs. We're going to ask Stephen Yates about this. The 737 MAX, which was meant for China's Xiamen Airlines, landed at Seattle's Boeing field. It was returned. They returned it because they said it was too expensive because of tariffs. That was them being punks, don't you know? It was them being punks. Stephen Yates joins us next. Stick with us. Our friends over at Super Beets, the Super Barine product. Super Barine is great for your metabolism and to help control healthy blood sugar levels. And with the Super Barine, you're familiar with the Super Beets hard chews, but with the Super Barine, and right now you can get $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. That puts it at just $24.98. And the Super Barine, like I said, it works with your metabolism and your blood sugar. It's plant-based and doctor-formulated. It has a unique berberine that is clinically studied to deliver 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. And it's just one highly concentrated, easy-to-swallow capsule. That's all you have to take daily. And it has grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. Visit Sam's Club. Everybody knows Sam's Club. To restock your heart health support with the Super Beets Heart Chews and expand your routine with the new Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. The Super Barine is $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. You can get that offer at Sam's Club while it lasts. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this third hour. And joining us now via the phone is our good friend Stephen Yates. You know him, senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation at Yates Comms on X. And Stephen, always a pleasure. I hope you had a blessed Easter. And we're so glad that you're able to join us at the top of this week. I wanted to ask you about this headline because this sounds like the height of pettiness. So China sent back a jet. They sent back this Boeing jet per, I think, Fox Business, The Guardian, elsewhere, a 737 MAX that was intended for a Chinese airline. And it was returned to Seattle on Saturday because they said, oh, well, now the tariffs are made it too expensive. This sounds like it's just a stunt. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Dana, first and foremost, Boeing is one of the largest companies in America that actually sells things into China. And China sells far more to the United States than the other way around. So this is one of the very few points they think to pressure the U.S. system. And the old theory of the way the world used to work was they press on a big American company, those executives come and lobby Congress and the administration, and in times past, that meant that the executive would cave and smooth things out with China and the sugar would flow. At this point, pretty sure Boeing can sell that aircraft to Malaysia or somewhere else, and China's going to have a hard time filling their inventory by trying to shop elsewhere. And if they show that they're willing to do this to the United States, France via Airbus or wherever else, can't be certain it won't happen to them too. So really, this is just trying to China driving their own brand down, in my view.
That's a really great point, because if they can do this, like, just, you know, with a 737, I mean, of course they would do it to other countries that even, you know, have lesser stature than that of the United States. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comes on X, they also, apparently China's also like threatening, they say they're warning, but it sounds like a threat. They're threatening other nations about appeasing the United States, as all these countries have been coming to the U.S., these nations' leaders, to negotiate new trade deals country by country. And China's warning nations against appeasing the U.S. in these trade deals, because it's not favorable for them, Stephen, if the U.S. if they make all these 70 some odd deals.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is just part of a piece where they project onto us that we are putting politics in the way of the quote unquote rules-based international order and free markets and all of that. Well, they have grossly distorted markets by subsidies, stealing intellectual property, doing all kinds of manipulation. And of course, they go out to their neighbors and say, oh, well, we're not going to bully you the way the U.S. does. So we'll make some sweet deals with you and we'll hide our trade deficit with the United States by laundering it through our neighbors. And that's basically what the Trump administration is the first ever to do, is to go to the neighbors and say, don't launder their trade deficit, make a deal with us, we'll make it right with you, and we'll rebalance these relationships. That's actually rational economics. China, on the other hand, it's not based on economics they're going to these other countries. They're actually bullying them on sovereignty and on economics. So in a way, it's another way they're driving down their own brand. I just don't think they have the self-awareness, and it's going to take a while for countries to adjust to this new normal. But I think President Trump has hit a big reset button, and it's only going to go in one direction. And these countries are going to have to figure out if they want to bandwagon with the United States or make deals with China. And they have a lot more to gain dealing with the United States.
Yeah, very true. And it was Giorgia Meloni who was in the United States towards the end of last week, before Easter weekend, apparently in town to negotiate a separate trade deal for Italy. So a lot of countries are, it looks like, you know, they're following through with this, and they're trying to have normalized trade relations. Is that, because I know so much of that depends upon just cementing these 70 some odd deals. Is that doable, especially with the short amount of time, in your opinion?
Well, it's doable if you have kind of a gradualistic view that I would, in that you want to get a big economy like Japan done first and soon. And the mood music that I'm hearing from the Japanese side and the American side suggests that that is possible. And if you end up with the momentum of a big economy like Japan, and then you get one or two others coming along, that really will have a bandwagon effect in a lot of other places. And it basically makes clear this is really about rebalancing economics, trade, investment, and manufacturing. And if it has the added effect of being less dependent on China, too bad for China. And a lot of Europe has been fed up with the over-solicitous approach of old Europe that's made them very dependent and very vulnerable. And so I think Meloni is on the front line of a new wave to rebalance what Europe's trying to do, but they got a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, one of the statements that the Chinese had said is that, quote, China firmly opposes any party reaching a deal at the expense of China's interests. So what are China's interests that are being threatened by the United States just making a good trade deal with another nation?
Basically, they're confessing that they can't compete on fair and transparent terms. And so it hurts their interests if we are trying to compete on fair and transparent terms with other people. It also is a basic admission that the World Trade Organization has failed world trade. And what it did was it adapted to become more like China and permissive of China than normalize what China's behavior was and make it more consistent with supposed international rules and norms. So we'd have to negotiate a post-World Trade Organization reordering of these patterns. And that's the huge reset button that President Trump has hit. People can question it. It's definitely risky and costly. I would argue it was necessary, and it's a far better to go through this now than waiting for when missiles are flying across the Taiwan Strait, or when China's caught helping the Houthis hit parts of the Middle East, or they're caught doing other things that provoke a conflict. We've got to reorder now before we're having to do it in a time of crisis.
Now, J.D. Vance, President or Vice President Vance, is in India with his family, meeting apparently with the prime minister. And obviously, it looks like a lot of people are banking on there maybe being a trade deal that comes from that meeting. Because, but then going back to China, because they're, I mean, that's their top trading partner. I mean, China's like, or well, like number one or two, second, first or second largest trading partner for India, China. So with China threatening, what is that? Is that going to impact Vance's meeting with the prime minister of India? Is that going to, is that enough to maybe potentially derail a sort of normalized trade agreement with them?
Well, there are risks for India, but they have gone very, very slowly for decades in trying to wake up and embrace engagement with the free world. They came out of a Fabian socialist background, where, you know, they were the billion people that lived in a democracy, but they were a very socialistic democracy. And China lived under a communist party, but there were things that looked like markets to those who didn't want to scratch too deeply. Now you've got another billion people who have discovered they can make iPhones. And finally, the woke leadership of Apple discovered the Indians can make iPhones too. And that, I think, is the giant sucking sound of manufacturing moving across a different southern border to another billion people. And so that, I think, is the great profit motive for India. It also makes India a much more central player in global affairs. And I think that's consistent with what Modi's trying to do for the country. So why not give that a spin for a while? We've already made the China bet and the returns are in. It was bad.
Yeah. I want to switch gears here because you, for people who don't know, Stephen Yates also worked in two different presidential administrations. So he's had a front row view of how all of that works and, you know, the relationships that these department heads have with their subordinates. I wanted to ask your thoughts real quick about SecDef Hegseth. And this leak, I like Hegseth. I haven't seen a reason as to why I should oppose him in his position at Secretary of Defense. But I feel like, too, this stuff that's why is nobody asking how in the world someone is leaking on the Secretary of Defense? Why are we having leaks coming from DOD of all places? That, to me, suggests that maybe there's an entrenchment there that has an issue with him being the Secretary of Defense to the point where it actually endangers national security. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, in terms of when it comes to the Secretary, I am very absolutist in my view. I think that presidents deserve the person that they want right in those key positions, especially the national security team. And so if the president has confidence in Pete Hegseth, then that's the secretary we have when we ride for that brand, in my view. Now, the people around him, it seems like we're caught in some leaking. It's the first time in my lifetime where there was actual enforcement of leaks right away. And the Pentagon is huge and full of leaks under normal circumstances. State Department is a close rival in that regard. And so in some ways, I'm impressed with the speed and the enforcement. But clearly there was a personnel mix-up. The people that had been let go were people that were in the inner circle staff. And basically their behavior now shows they shouldn't have been. But until I see something that sort of says that the Hegseth is doing something the president doesn't want, The Hegseth is taking policy in a direction that increased risks for the United States. I'm not going to listen to the whiners who try to talk about signal chats. Signal chats are not going to save the world or undermine our enemies.
Right.
And I'd love for that distraction to go away, but I'm not going to feed it. I like the doing and let the talking sort itself out. But that might just be me. But I think we have too much at stake to get caught up with the chatterbugs that are infesting Washington, D.C.
Agreed. Very much so. Stephen Yates at Yates comes on X. Always so good to have you, my friend. I hope you had a wonderful Easter. Have a great rest of your week as well. We so appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dana. Take good care.
Okay, you too. Our partners that bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is in existence. And you can save money with Patriot Mobile by switching. You get the nationwide coverage that you can trust. And you're also supporting the maintenance and creation of U.S.-based jobs. And so with Patriot Mobile, your money isn't working against you. The money that you spent for the service, this goes towards actually empowering the things that you vote to protect, right? And you also get exceptional nationwide coverage. They operate on all three major networks, so you're connected wherever you go, seamless switching. And you can keep your number, keep your phone, upgrade. It's never been easier to switch. Right now at patriotmobile.com/Dana, you can get a free month of service using promo code Dana, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
There's a pizza chain in St. Louis called Emo's Pizza.
It's awesome. Don't say anything against it. What is your beef?
Sterling
tell
Brown.
Tell me.
I don't like it.
I do know that you don't like it. It's a thin crust pizza. Is that your issue in and of itself?
The crust is the least of the problems.
Come on, give it
to
me.
This is something that I had an argument with John Hamm about this.
Yeah.
Anyone from St. Louis is so defensive of this pizza place.
It's delicious.
And I will tell you, I was excited to try it. In fact, I ordered it for my wife for Valentine's Day when we were first dating. Okay. I had it come out and I was excited to try it because she says, oh, this is Emo's Pizza. It's the best pizza.
Yes.
And we tried it and my first thought was, did I leave the plastic on it when I put it in the oven? And that is not a joke.
I believe you. You have to let it cool a little bit.
Okay.
I think you probably had it too, because sometimes the cheese will be running. If you let it cool for about 2 minutes, you would have a completely different culinary experience.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. True.
I got your back.
Yeah.
That's what you do next time.
Saw this like over the weekend. It was a couple of months ago. But Sterling Brown, who's an actor from St. Louis, and Jimmy Kimmel, who I'm not a fan of anyway, they were talking about Emo's Pizza. Emo's Pizza, if you are a St. Louisan, is the pizza. I actually have some Emo's in my freezer as I speak right now. In fact, I'm going to have some after the show. I'm going to have some as a way to like make up for having a swollen wonk eye for the entirety of the broadcast, like a weeping red eye. Oh, horrible. But they were debating over Emo's. And it is true. If you're from St. Louis, Kane, as you can attest, it's Emo's is a St. Louis thing, but it's also delicious and better than any of the other pizzas there.
It is delicious.
It's better than any of the other pizzas there also.
I mean, it's delicious.
As a St. Louisan, don't make me do this.
I'm just saying it's delicious, but I don't think it is
the best pizza. Then something's wrong with your tongue.
I'm sorry. There are St. Louis families that have been there for, decades that have been making some really amazing
good
pizza.
Good for them.
And
it's Emo's, that Provel, man.
How do you
explain Provel cheese to people who have no idea what it is? It's a cheese that you only get in St. Louis because of Emo's. They blend a bunch of cheeses together to make this cheese, and some people hate it. You can get it roped at one of the grocery stores, like a roped cheese. You can get it there.
I don't know how to describe it.
It's like
it's not cheddar-y, but it has like it's got the smoothness of mozzarella, but it has a tiny bit of not a cheddar-y tang, but it's got a little
cheddar-y
bit
tang.
It's got a little bit of some flav.
It's a white processed cheese, so it's a combination of cheddar, Swiss, provolone, and liquid smoke.
Oh.
And it has a low melting point. And they've used it for St. Louis style pizza. It's also in like a Gerber sandwich. Do they have those anywhere else?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can do a Gerber. I mean, it's. I think people don't. I mean, it's just a nice. It's a nice melty cheese. I don't know. It's a great cheese for
it
pizza.
Is. I have nothing against the cheese at all. But
they
trademarked
it in 47.
There's so much great pizza out there.
But why did people gotta hate on Emo's? It's a thin crust pizza. I dip mine in ranch.
Do you? I've never.
I will not eat it. Unless
and I'm older
I,
than
I mean,
you.
I will, but
I'm older
I have
than you.
Ranch.
I'm older than you, and I have never put
the
ranch
fresh
on my
Emo's
pizza.
In St. Louis is unmatched. It is. I mean, you can get the frozen, and it's still good. But a fresh one is unmatched. Yeah. I mean, after school, we would either go to like Burger King or Emo's.
Dude, the pepperoni bacon used to be my
favorite. Dude, it's so good. So they were having a big and of course, you know, Jimmy Kimmel being a, you know, doucher, he hates Emo's pizza because he hates everything good in life is why. So good on Sterling Brown for like sticking up. Apparently John Hamm's from St. Louis. He's apparently a big Emo's fan too. Yeah. This is not a commercial for Emo's. They do not advertise. I just like the pizza and I get very protective of it. When I hear people run it down, you know, I'm like, how dare you mess with my little brother like that? It's like something like that. I don't know.
I've even ordered Emo's through Gold Belly.
That's how I got
to have it,
yeah.
Here down in Texas.
You can get the make your own kits, but it's not the same.
No, it isn't.
Everybody knows it's not the same. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, Juan, this is Cut 25. This is an LGBTQIA plus teacher saying that now most of her students somehow are transgender. Listen to this.
Thank you so much. So, I am here as the co-chair of the Trans and Non-Binary Network of the NEU. I'm here as a teacher, I'm here as an activist, but I want to speak to you as a teacher.
Yeah.
I teach in an alternative provision where most of our students are trans and non-binary. To
that
be clear,
seems like a lot of mental illness to me. Mm. That's a lot of mental illness to be bragging about.
Yep, right, that's. I agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree. That does it for us. For today, and again, we'll be back with the simulcast tomorrow, hopefully without super swollen eyes. So I appreciate you guys buckling up for that ride. What a great Monday. What a way to start the week. We'll be back tomorrow, but with you behind the mic. Find us YouTube, Facebook.